Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, this girl here, Jen, and I'm Joe. Hey.
I'm flailing my arms.
Oh, are you getting psyched for the show?
I am. I'm doing my psych up exercises for podcasting.
Speaking about exercises, I have been faithfully doing my DDP yoga.
Good for you.
And riding my bike, and I'm also doing some exercises off of YouTube.
Very good.
And I seem to be doing pretty good. I mean, the main thing is I don't want to say I don't feel skinnier yet, but the main thing is I'm doing it and I'm right. Getting that routine in.
Diet is 80% of it, Joe, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have been eating better, but I'm still addicted to chips and, you know, I just.
You got to find something that replaces the crunch, right?
Yeah.
Celery.
Ugh.
Yum. Broccoli. Oh. Your favorite. Joe loves broccoli.
You want to know how much I love broccoli?
Yeah.
Look in my backyard. Because I had some steamer bowl, they call it, or whatever. And it was 90% broccoli. So I picked all that out and I fed it to the squirrels. And the squirrels don't even eat it.
No. No, they don't.
So, but yeah. Hey. New Orleans is only, five, 6 weeks away. I've got to lose at least 10 pounds before New Orleans.
You can do it. You can do it. We're going to have so much fun down there. So on the show today, we have a very special guest. And I want to give everybody her bio so you know who she is and what we're talking about. We're going to be talking with Alex Matsuo. She is an actor, a playwright by day, and a paranormal investigator, researcher, and author by night. She's the founder of the Association of Paranormal Study, which specializes in private home investigations and consultations. She's also written a book called More Than Ghosts, A Guide to Working Residential Cases in the Paranormal Field. Another book called The Haunted Actor, An Exploration of Supernatural Beliefs Through Theater. And her third book was The Haunting of the 10th Avenue Theater. Alex currently hosts the radio show The Wicked Domain on liveparanormal.com and has previously hosted the radio shows Paranation and Paranormal Insider Radio. She also runs a podcast for the North Carolina theater community called Triangle on Stage. Alex received her Master's of Arts in Theater Arts from San Diego State University in 2011 and currently is residing in North Carolina. Alex Matsuo. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Wonderful. We are so excited to have you on the show today. We've been looking over all of your books here. I'm very excited to be talking to a author of paranormal books. It's so exciting.
Yeah. When do you have time to sleep? It seems like you do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. ironically, I'm in the process of putting on a show right now. So I'm actually not getting a lot of sleep, ironically. lots of naps, lots of power naps.
Yeah.
No rest for the weary or the writer, right?
Exactly.
So, Alex, just tell all of our listeners a little bit about your history with the paranormal, how you got into it, and then I'd like to talk a little bit about your history with being in theater and acting.
Yeah, good, awesome. Yeah, totally. So, I had paranormal experiences when I was a kid, and that was enough to pique my interest in it. However, my mother was not excited about my interest in the paranormal. I grew up in a very conservative Christian household, especially after my grandmother passed. And so anything paranormal, like I couldn't even read the Goosebumps books at home.
Oh.
So I had to read them at school. yeah, anything like watching TV shows, like Are You Afraid of the Dark or anything that had anything to do with like paranormal stuff was not allowed. And so, of course, when you withhold something from a kid or a teenager, that's only going to make them want it more.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So that's how I really just fell in love with it. I loved the research side of it. And I mean, it started before, you know, the TV shows came around. So I just depended on like, you know, the random TV specials that be on TV and hoped that my mom was at work when I could watch them or the library. So, yeah.
And I think, you know, it's fascinating to being that you have this passion for theater and passion for the paranormal. How did your interest in the theater and acting get sparked?
Let's see. I've always been kind of a performer. I was in a lot of different things growing up. I think my mom was trying to help me find my niche, so to speak. I did karate. I did figure skating, and that was probably the thing that stuck the longest in my childhood. I figure skated from kindergarten until seventh or eighth grade. So I guess that was the little hint that I was a performer, because I did enjoy figure skating, at least doing the performance aspect. I hated the technical aspect. And then I had a friend at my church who was doing theater. I saw her in a play, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. So my mom signed me up for some acting classes, and I was in a show by the end of my eighth grade year. So, and I've been hooked ever since.
That's cool. It's neat that you did it at such a young age.
Yeah, I think that helped me too when it came to, you know, socializing and I guess getting familiar with myself and who I was and all that good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And being out in front of people, you really have to become yourself, or else it's like you don't want to be that shy little person in the corner, but get out there and actually live life and have fun, you know? And that's part of doing the ghost hunting thing, you know?
Exactly. It made me more outgoing, I guess. I mean, I'm still I still have my introvert moments, don't get me wrong, but or if I am having an introvert moment, at least I can fake it.
Yeah, there you go. So, I need to learn that. Yeah.
I see here that you attended San Diego State University and got your mm-hmm. master's in art in theater arts. Any experiences when you were there? California is a very old state.
I had quite a few. I pretty much grew up in San Diego, so I grew up with, you know, Old Town, the Whaley House, you know, which is like one of the most famous haunted locations in the world. So, you know, the Whaley House was like the haunted house down the road for mm-hmm. us.
right.
And I had a lot of experiences in San Diego. San Diego is considered to be the birthplace of California. So we're talking like the Kumeyaay Native American tribe and their relationship with the Spaniards when they came in. You know, we had Father Sarah. So a lot of the mission there is still standing. San Diego has quite the history that totally explains a lot of the hauntings that are happening around the Old Town and downtown area. And even San Diego State was haunted. I had a few experiences in when I was working there in the theater department, and a lot of it solidified my belief in the paranormal, actually.
Theaters have such a reputation for being haunted.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated with that, and I'll be honest, I don't think I have been in a theater that was not haunted yet. Every theater I've ever worked in always has a ghost story, and even when I was doing children's theater, we performed Peter Pan in this really beautiful theater. It's one of those big like opera houses type theaters. Mm-hmm. And there was a ghost story there of a ballerina. She was up on the second floor. With the way this theater was structured, the backstage area was actually two stories and the dressing rooms are on the second floor. Apparently a ballerina, a prima ballerina, was stretching and she lost her footing and fell down the stairs and died. So apparently she was still haunting the area. And I didn't personally have an experience there, but I heard a lot of stories of people who did. And I actually wrote a book about one of the haunted theaters in San Diego, the 10th Avenue Theater. But I consider it the Disneyland of haunted places.
Oh, really?
Because every time I've been there, I've had something like remarkable happen, and it's always been different. So it's very interesting.
What kind of experiences did you have in that particular theater?
Ooh, where did you go?
Tell us all.
Tell us everything. We love it.
Well, our very first investigation there. So we were by ourselves in the building. It's a 4-5 story building, and I had actually worked there first as an actor, and then I rented the stage out for one of my stage readings for a play I wrote, and, you know, had some experiences there. But the first night that my team was there, we were on the third floor. I take that back. There's a lot of floors there. No, it was the third floor. I have to like map it. I have to map out the theater in my head. We were on the third floor, and we were in this place called the writing room. And this is when the theater was still kind of being, I guess it had been bought in 2000 and used to be attached to the Baptist church that was next door, but the owner just, you know, turned it into a performing arts center type place. So it was still doing in construction. It was still kind of rough, but we were in the third floor in the writing room. We were the only ones in the building, and I know this because I had a key, and we did a sweep to make sure it was vacated, of course. And as we were doing our EVP session, we just hear these really heavy footsteps coming from the ceiling above us, meaning that somebody above us was walking around.
Yeah.
And yeah, I still have the recording. It's like you can hear us talk like, okay, who's up there? Like, what's going on? Because it's like a very distinct do, 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 do. Just like somebody's walking, pacing the room above us. And we actually had quite a few things happen that first night. The other thing that happened was we were trying to communicate with the ghost who was in the hall. She was in, like, the hallways and the stairs. Her name was Missy. I don't want to say she's a little girl, born like 11 or 12.
Okay.
She likes to mess with people. So, you know, she's a little mischievous. And we were sitting there talking to Missy, and I said, hey, Missy, you know, can you give us, you know, not give us a sign of your presence, but, you know, can you let me know that you're here? And all the lights turned off on our floor.
Wow, that's amazing.
Just on your floor.
Yeah, just on our floor. And you can bet that I cussed a little bit when that happened.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? And then the last thing that happened, this was just the first night, I had to leave the key in the owner's office, and that was on the third floor as well. So where we heard the footsteps. Actually, I think Missy turned off the lights on the third floor as well. I would have to look at my notes to confirm that. But anyway, so we had already turned all the lights off, and I looked at two of my team members. More than half of my team was consisted of military guys. I mean, it's San Diego. It's not a huge shock, but mm-hmm. I had two Marines and a sailor.
Lucky
I looked at
you.
The two Marines, and I said, hey, can you guys bring the key upstairs, because I didn't want to go up the stairs and I didn't want to use the elevator that had been there since 1920. You know, I didn't want to use the elevator. And they're like, okay, yeah. And they went up together. And then I was talking to one of the Marines' wife. I was talking to Beverly, and I said, you know, it'd be really funny if like something happened while they were up there. And all of a sudden you hear the two guys go, oh, my God. And like you hear like, I swear, it's like I heard the Scooby-Doo running in place sound, like, up there. And and one of them is literally, like, jumping, like, three or four steps at a time to try to get down quicker. And the other guy, with each step he's taking down the stairs, you hear him go, no, 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 no. And I asked, I said, oh, my gosh, what happened? And they said they were up there, and they heard this little girl's voice say, Mommy?
Oh, man. I would have loved to have seen that. I can just picture it.
And keep in mind, we're talking Marines here. We're talking like these guys, you know, go on deployments. They face, you know, some of the most terrifying situations in the world, you know, and they face it with bravery and they move forward. But a girl ghost saying, Mommy, just sent them running.
Wow. That's crazy.
I often say when I start doing ghost hunting and stuff, I would say, if you hear a little girl screaming, don't worry, that's just me. Yeah. It's like we always ask, you know, we keep asking the ghosts, come to us, come to us, come to us. And then when they do, it's like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Now, did you do any research to find out who this little girl was or why she was there?
You know, we actually did find her grave, and we did have a backstory on her. So the building was built around the early 1920s. It was built to be in conjunction with the big Baptist church next door. And so fast forward 40 years, in the 1960s, same year Kennedy was shot. So the building was being used for, like, Boy Scout meetings, youth group meetings, offices, and pretty much, you know, everything church business related. This was, I want to say it was October, and Missy was on the top floor, or on the roof with her youth group, and there used to be a basketball court and everything up there. and there it was hot. And okay, San Diego gets hot in October, and and she wanted to go inside, and she asked the youth pastor, you know, hey, I want to go inside, and he said, no, you can't. And so she decided she was going to go anyway. And so she started, she went on inside. The youth pastor basically followed her and was trying to get her to go back, you know, go back to the roof. And she started running down the stairs, and she missed her footing on one of the, I think it was the first landing of like getting into the fourth floor. She missed her footing, and she actually landed with severe trauma to her head. Mm. And ended up not surviving that injury. So, yeah. So, and we did find a headstone for Missy. I can't disclose her real name, but it is there. And if anyone's truly morbidly curious, I can always tell you in private. So we did verify that she existed, and we actually had this confirmed by a few members of the church as well, who had disclosed it to the owner. Yeah. So I don't know why she's there. It is a very warm and welcoming place.
Okay.
And with what the owner has done to the building now, it's fantastic. You know, it's a performing arts space. There's actually two stages in the building. A lot of people, a lot of arts organizations have their offices there. So it's just very inviting and a very positive place. And she is known as the resident ghost there, and she does like to mess with people. But people seem to be okay with that. I haven't met anyone that's truly scared of Missy. I mean, you know, you get a little anxious when you're in the building because, you know, it's like, oh, what's Missy going to do to me this time? But she's definitely not malevolent in any way. I think she just likes interacting with people and, you know, seeing what's happening in the building. So,
have you done any formal paranormal investigations of that theater outside of just being in there and experiencing anything?
I actually did quite a few investigations there. I kind of had unlimited access to it for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
Anytime I wanted to go in there, Jeff gave me the key and, you know, it was fine.
That makes it so nice.
Oh,
yeah.
How nice. I have access to your own haunted building. Yes.
Because I was thinking about
it's
that.
Amazing.
I was thinking about that today when we do our ghost investigations, that we tend to only do the one-dayers. And I'm like, you know, we really need to do longer investigations. It'd be so nice to have access like that, you know?
Yeah. And I think being able to have access to that building for so long was really, we were able to, you know, keep track of different investigations, like what happened during certain times. It was like we did have that controlled environment. I wish I had access to it still, but, you know, I moved across the country, but if I ever go back, you bet I'd go there. Almost every visit I make to San Diego, I always make sure to talk to Jeff, and I get into the 10th Avenue Theater to do a ghost hunt. I thought about doing it completely by myself one night, but I don't think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, we always say don't do things by yourself because you never know what's going to happen.
I'd do it.
I know, right?
So it obviously it made a huge impression on you, enough for you, you know, to want to put that into paper form. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the deciding factor to write the book and a little bit about your writing process.
Yeah. So what was interesting was Llewellyn had approached me about writing a book for them, and I was trying to come up with different ideas because, you know, I had written The Haunted Actor, which was about the relationship between theater and the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think, like, okay, what can my next step be? And I just happened to write down about the 10th Avenue Theater, and I included that in one of my pitches. And Llewellyn was like, ooh, do that one. I'm actually in the process of updating it for a second edition. Llewellyn won't be publishing that one, but there's definitely going to be an updated version of this book coming out soon with, like, new stories, new experiences. So, and when it comes to my process, I'm a big outliner. I also had to, you know, come up with a lot of you know, old investigation notes. I did a lot of interviews with people who had been there, not just with me, but who had been in the building separately doing their own thing. So pretty much I just put out a call to the theater community, and I said, hey, if anyone had anything weird happen at the 10th Avenue Theater, please shoot me an email. Yeah, so it was a collection of interviews and personal experiences, and I'm somebody who outlines, but I also, when I write, it's kind of like a word vomit. I just put it all out there and then I organize it later.
Yes. I totally understand. I get it.
Yeah. Well, it's like you want to get the content out there, and I didn't want to like stress myself out with like fitting within a timeline. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to write about each experience separately, and then I'll make a storyboard out of that afterwards. So, and then I'll edit from there.
So in your book, The Haunted Actor, you're exploring, it says here, the supernatural belief through theater. How did you marry those two together? I mean, I know it's always been hand in hand. You know, theaters have a reputation for being haunted. But what kind of surprised you about when you were doing this research and what you found?
That the relationship between the supernatural and theater dates back to thousands of years, if not older.
Wow.
I was kind of the weird one in grad school that always kept wanting to cover all the ghost stuff in my graduate studies. And I actually didn't run into this until I started working on the book. I was trying to find like the oldest evidence of, you know, of ghosts being present in a play.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to Shakespeare's time, you know, because we have Hamlet.
Yeah.
You know, Hamlet and Hamlet's ghosts and, you know, the Scottish play. And, you know, there's lots of ghosts and witches and stuff in the Scottish play and the Tempest. And as I kept digging, I was like, okay, this is actually a lot older than Shakespeare. So I kept going back, and I even went back to like pre-ancient Rome. And I'm like, oh okay.
Yeah.
This is a thing. So
yeah, especially, you know, for us who live in this time, we just, when we think of theater, we think of a building, not just, you know, going back further than maybe 100 or 200 years.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, amazing that this profession of acting has been around for that long, and the belief in spirits have been around just as long.
Well, and when you think about it, the original reason why we even had performances was because it was to honor gods, goddesses, the spirits of our ancestors, you know, helping our relatives move on to the next life. That's why we started performing.
Yeah.
So
now in your, I want to say career with the theater and all that, being in the theater, have you ever encountered like a doppelganger in a theater of like one of the actors that comes in and says, or one, you know, says, hey, I just saw you walk in. You know, have you ever encountered something like that where a spirit is mimicking that person?
All the time, actually.
Oh,
it happens a lot more often than you think.
Yeah, I know when I was putting the interview together, I was like, I got to ask her this question, you know, because I've heard of it before, you know, and I'm like, does it really happen?
And you know what's interesting is a lot of times, at least with my doppelganger experience, it didn't necessarily happen with actors, but it happened with the tech people.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. I saw numerous doppelgangers of like stagehands, whiteboard operators. And I would say like, hey, you walked right by me, but you didn't help me with my costume change. And they're like, I'm just now coming up to you for your costume change.
Oh, that's freaky. Yeah, I never thought of that I always just thought of the actors and actresses. And, you know, another thing I wanted to ask you too is, I know that they play a lot of different characters. Have you ever heard of a spirit imitating one of the characters and following them home or showing up as them?
No, I haven't heard of that. But actually, what's interesting is there is a story from Cygnet Theater in San Diego. There was, I forgot what the play was. I would have to look it up. But there was a play happening at Cygnet, and pretty much the way that the lighting was, there was a shadow behind the actor. So while the actor was performing, their shadow was doing something completely different.
Oh, wow.
That is so cool.
I would love to see that.
And the audience is sitting there like, oh, that's a cool trick. And meanwhile, everyone backstage and in the booth is like,
Easy way to forget your lines when you see something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's happened. I also have a few theories about, you know, if we have doppelgangers or spirits coming back to mimic characters. I don't know how familiar your audience may be with a tulpa or a thought form, but, you know, if you look at this, like the Philip experiment's a good example of that, where, you know, this group of people basically created their own ghost with a process of immense concentration. Granted, it took years from a once a week meeting, but when you got to think about actors, they put so much energy into a character and developing a character. And if it's a popular character, you know, is that energy that that actor is, you know, creating to get into their character, are they feeding off of the energy of the other actors who played that same character over the past, you know, several years, decades, century, depending on the play? And do they, could they basically create their own entity out of that, but that entity being their character?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're in that character doing sometimes a year with the actual play and the rehearsals and everything. So.
Yep. Yep.
Now, this is just exactly. a random question. It's not ghost related, but in the acting process, when you do become that character or portraying that character for so long, how do you separate that? How do you like turn that off when you go home? Is that just something you learn in acting school or is it just, you know, how do you not become that character? I mean, if it's a dark character or something scary or, you know, maybe you're a happy person, your character's depressed. How do you make that separation?
Well, for me, I have to literally shake off the character. Like, I have to shake my hands and mm-hmm. shake my feet and shake my face a bit. I also tap all the tips of my fingers with my thumb. Mm-hmm. So I'll just to do one finger at a time. And I don't know, for some reason, that just helps me, you know, get back to Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I still do a lot of acting work right now. I work for a local medical school as an actor, and I portray different patients so that doctors and nurses and, you know, mental health, you know, specialists can learn bedside manner. And I had to play a homeless person who, for the sake of keeping your show PG-13, I had to play a homeless woman who basically works the street corner, who has a lot of mental illness, mm-hmm. have had several mental illnesses going on. So I had to get into a really dark place to portray her properly.
Yeah.
And I had to play her three times because I had three different students. So I had to essentially, like, after every student, I had to reset. I had to get back. I had to shake off the character, go back to being Alex, and then go back into the rabbit hole again because I had to keep her fresh every time.
Yeah.
So, and that can wear on you too. Like even right now, I'm still exhausted from that. And that was like 2 days ago. Hmm. So it does take a toll on you. When I was playing a character whose husband essentially was murdered at the end of the show, and the show is a great show, but it doesn't really end on a hopeful note.
Yeah.
I went home and watched Disney movies. Like, that's how I kind of got back to being me. Because if I were to keep focusing and not let go of that character after the show was over, it would really, like, affect my mental health in a negative way. So,
oh, definitely.
That's just my process. Some people like to take a drink. Some people like to shower. I have a friend who literally will take a shower after every show and, you know, and she essentially just washes that character off of her. So, it's whatever works for you personally. So, I guess you could almost call it a form of grounding.
Yeah.
It's interesting, kind of a interesting correlation between that and you know, paranormal investigation. Sometimes you have to go and you physically have to clap or make noise to clear the negative energy out of the space, right? So you mm-hmm. are yep. doing that kind of ritual to clear that energy, you know, of character out, which I think is really fascinating. I'm always fascinated by, like, people who do acting, and I'm always like, let me ask you a question. I got to figure this out. Because I'm a writer as well, and I like to know when I'm writing something, you know, how I want to be able to portray that character the best I can for the actor, right? But yeah, I just think it's just fascinating that, you know, marrying this love of theater with the love of paranormal that you have. Have you ever encountered any ghosts in the audience when you're performing? Have you ever seen anything out in the seats?
You know, I've had a few times where I could have swore, and this didn't happen until after my mom passed, I could have swore I saw her in the audience.
Oh, very cool.
But she doesn't really, but I've never seen her sit. She's always standing, like, at like the end of a row, or she's standing at the end of an aisle. Like, it's just really weird. Or I'll see her, like, outline or her silhouette, which obviously she would have never, you know, stood in a seat when I was doing a show. But I think it just might have been her way of saying, hey, I'm here. You know, because, I mean, depending on the theater, I can usually see the audience, especially in smaller houses. So, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda saw somebody filming the show, you know, with their cell phone in this huge theater in Puerto Rico. So, you know, and he was able to call it out. Same with Patti LuPone. She did the same thing when someone was videotaping in the audience. So, heads up to anyone who goes to the theater and you're in the audience, they can see you.
Yes.
Yes.
You'd be surprised how many people don't think they can be seen.
Well, you know, you have to respect the actor and what they're doing. And then you also have to respect the paranormal, too. You know, they may be showing themselves to you as a form of, you know, appreciation for you bringing the craft to these different theaters. You know, there's a lot of energy in a theater where you have people who have large passion for what they're doing and performing. And there's the energy that they have to put through the character to portray to the audience. So, you know, that stage, the stage itself may physically hold some of that residual or
I was just thinking that too.
Energy.
Yeah.
Have you, you ever had, any kind of experiences just being on stage, maybe by yourself or, you know, going into a new theater and sussing it out or.
You know, that's a really great question. So I've had it happen a few times in different spaces. One of them was at the 10th Avenue Theater. This one, I was doing my stage reading and my lighting person wasn't going to make it. So I realized that after I gave my curtain speech or my opening speech, I was going to have to run through the house or the audience, go out like the into the lobby, go up the stairs and go to the light booth to turn the lights down. And I did my speech and I had the key to the lighting booth. Like no one else had the key. And so I ran up there, you know, in my heels, and it had to have taken me like maybe a minute to get up there. But by the time I got up there, someone had already turned the lights down, which was weird.
Yeah.
That doesn't, it's always, that doesn't happen.
It's always nice when the ghosts help you.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and I even asked my actors, I said, and I watched the video afterwards, and the lights went down immediately. As soon as you heard me go through the door, you know, out into the lobby, the lights went down. So you know that I was still downstairs when that happened.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. I've had other things happen, like in other theaters. There's one theater in Raleigh. I won't say which one, just for their privacy, because I don't know if they want the paranormal reputation yet. I'm working on it. Where their interns are always talking to me and telling me that they're hearing footsteps, especially when they're cleaning in the theater. Or they're sweeping the stage by themselves, they'll hear somebody walking around, or they'll see someone in the booth. It's really fascinating how many ghosts hang out in the lighting booth.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I had wrote down here, is do you have any specific rooms or that? But it's basically the way it sounds is everything, well, I don't want to say but the stage, but everything, including the stage, is haunted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about it, there's so many sources of energy, and actually one of the biggest sources of energy is the light.
Yeah.
So, and in the lighting booth, you've got everything that connects the lights in that theater all goes back to the light booth. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the light booth is the heart of all the tech that happens on stage.
Yeah.
Same thing with the sound. It all goes back to that booth.
Have you had anything ever come over the sound system?
Ooh, didn't think of that. Like EVPs.
Not yet. Not yet. I think that would be interesting if that happened, though.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we're looking here that, you know, you're in North Carolina and you have a podcast that you talk about theater.
Theater podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a brain fart.
Yeah, try.
Tell us a little bit.
Strangle on stage, yeah.
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 What? Tell us a little bit about your experience with podcasting, since we're fellow podcasters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I started helping with a live radio show for the Paranormal Research Society, the folks from Paranormal State. I started with producing their live radio show, and then eventually I became the host of that. And I really liked it because it gave me an opportunity to network and connect with other people in the paranormal. And I got to have those conversations with people that I don't know if I would have had that same experience if I just sent an email saying, hey, love your work.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of X, Y, and Z? So, and then after my time with that show was over, I started my own, and I was live paranormal, we called The Wicked Domain. And then somebody said, hey, why don't you do this for the theater community in Raleigh? And I'm like, okay, you know. So it gave me that same opportunity to just have conversations with people about their craft, about their work. So it's kind of like I'm doing the same thing with, like, all the different shows that I'm doing. I just love getting to know people and connecting with people and finding out what their process is, whether it's acting or ghost hunting. You know, there's a lot of things that are the same, but there are really great things that make us all different. So, and we can all learn from each other.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's great about the platform of podcasting is there's so many different genres and you can get it any time, right? Like, it's not like mm-hmm. a show that you're going to miss. You'll be able to go back and listen and re-listen. And, you know, yep. I think that's one of the things that's just been so wonderful about doing a podcast is being able to help people and to reach a mass audience. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
for free, you know, I mean, like, we do this and we don't charge. And it's been very helpful to be able to go and listen to other people's podcasts and just absorb that knowledge, you know. And mm-hmm. I think what you're doing is great, you know, putting that bridge together between, you know, the love of theater and paranormal investigating. Now, you did another book. I see a third book here. How many books in total do you have? Three, or is there more?
Three paranormal books and one book on how to write.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, what is it? 10,000 words?
I need it. But one of your books is called More Than Ghosts. It's a guide to working residential cases in the paranormal field. Now, mm-hmm. do you, in doing that and going into residential homes and having the trained acting background, does that help you kind of weed out the people who are, you know, truly being affected by something, or maybe somebody who just wants attention for, you know, paranormal?
Oh, yeah. I always get asked if I'm psychic or empathic or I'm a medium. And to be honest, no. It's because I've had to study the human condition mm-hmm. for so long as an actor, not just like study. Well, I mean, it is basically studying how people work and why do people say certain things? What's motivating them to act a certain way? And it's just helped me learn how to read people very well. And that doesn't come from any supernatural abilities. It just comes from, I guess, more of a psychological background mm-hmm. and studying human nature. So usually it's pretty easy because the ones that seem to just want the attention, they always talk about like the TV shows that they've watched or they'll compare me and my team to a TV show. It's like, oh, well, when this group goes in on TV, they have X, Y, and Z. And it's like, okay, well, we're not on TV.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Yeah, yeah. There's a huge difference.
And I find that the ones who are truly like being genuine, they're also open to this, to their experience being debunked. And if anything, they would be relieved if we came in and debunked it. So
that's pretty much what they're asking.
I find that the ones who are disappointed or angry about getting debunked, it's like, well, maybe there's something else that you want that we can't provide.
Right.
And I always say, and this is even on our form on our website for case submissions, are you open to having your case being debunked? And we have a yes, no, or maybe. If they say no, there's no chance that we're going to take that case because we will try to debunk.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can at least debunk the creaking noises in your house, then that's one less thing you have to worry about when you're home, you know?
Exactly.
So
definitely. And you said you have a website. How if somebody wanted to get a hold of you or wanted to purchase one of your books, how would they do that? Where can they get it?
They can head on over to alexmatsuo.com. They can also find me on Amazon, and I'm also all over the place on Facebook. So you can find me on any of those channels, and you can actually buy my books on Amazon. But if you want a signed copy, you know, you can contact me on the side, and I'll be happy to help you get it done.
Yeah, and there's a ton more stuff in the books, because I know we talked about the Haunted 10th Avenue Theater a lot on the show today, but mm-hmm. there is tons more in the book, and you're gonna have the second book come out, so that's awesome.
Yep. I'm aiming for summer for that, because you know we have to edit all the new material and then see if there's anything in the old material that needs to be revisited, or if we had any clarification on some of those experiences, you know, updated and whatnot. So, yeah.
Plus all the other stuff you're doing.
Yeah.
I was doing some research on you, and I'm like, when does she sleep? And I remember we did meet you at the Post Town School. Is that the old Post Town School? Weren't you there at SuperCon?
Oh, actually, I wasn't able to make it.
No?
I had to film something, actually. So.
Okay, because I saw that you were supposed to be there, and I was like, did we meet her? I know I would remember.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it, but hopefully I'll make it to the next one.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great show. We had fun.
Oh, awesome.
You'll have to.
Yeah, Rob and Nikki put on a good event, so.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And if you're ever, you know, in the Toledo area, we have a very haunted theater here. A
couple of them, actually.
Yeah, actually a couple. And, you know, if you ever get this way, definitely we will go there together and we will stand on stage and we'll look at all the ghosts in the audience and in the balcony.
My cousin is actually doing his rotations for medical school in Toledo.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I may
That's
end
amazing.
Up over there.
Yeah, definitely. Look us up. We have a lot of really interesting places around here that we could show you around and get spooky.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
But anyways, Alex, I want to thank you so much for coming on. We had a blast.
Yeah.
And
thanks so much for having me.
You're
on.
Welcome anytime. Fun. Just let us know when you want to talk some more and we'll have you on.
Get that next book out, girl, and we'll
there you go.
Talk again.
We want the exclusive.
Right. Thank you so much.
I'll definitely keep you in the loop for sure.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it, and everybody, just check her out on Facebook. Go to Amazon, get a copy of her book, and read it, and let us know what you think.
Go to her website. Yes. I'm looking at it right now. It's a great website. Cool. You've got your blogs on there. You got your books, the contacts, everything.
Yep.
So
the whole shebang.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, and hopefully we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks again.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
So what a great interview with Alex.
That was
fun. I learned
fun.
Some really interesting things because, you know, Joe and I really have a passion for the theater, and Joe's kind of a newfound passion for the theater now that you're starting to go and see plays.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just went and saw Rock of Ages, and I'm telling you, I was sitting, it's funny, I'm looking at them thinking, okay, they all have microphones on.
Mm-hmm.
They're all wireless microphones. How do they stop talking when they go backstage? Do they turn the microphones off? Do
I
they
think so.
You know?
You're looking at the technical.
Oh,
thinking
and I
about
should have asked
technical.
Alex about that.
Yes.
You know, so Alex, if you're listening, please message me on Facebook. But yeah, it's great. And, you know, our experiences with theaters are doing the paranormal investigation. And it's funny that we're at the rep and at the edge of the stage, and that's another geeky thing I'm thinking of, is how do they not fall off the stage, which they probably...
They have that. Remember the glow
in the
dark.
The glow in the dark.
Tape.
And that stuff, I put the flashlight over it, and it was so bright, it was leaving shadows everywhere. It was amazing how bright those little tiny things are, so they know where the edge of the stage is.
Please don't fall off the edge of the stage.
Yeah, because Rock of Ages was a two-story stage.
Wow.
And they did a lot of dancing up on the second...
I really wanted to see Evita when it came in town. It was just in town, but I didn't physically have time.
Yeah.
Like, I had so much scheduled, and I really wanted to see it. But I'll make it happen.
Well, Rock of Ages is coming to Toledo, and we are going. I'm going again. I'm going to wrangle up. I'll get a short bus, and we'll put everybody in it.
Shortridge bus.
Yeah.
what an amazing... A thing, you know, like being in a haunted theater.
Yeah.
Love it. Because, typically the energy is going to be maybe a former actor or a worker in there. And they have a love for that. And that's why they're staying. So I just think
that's really
cool. I
would have never thought that, you know, when I think of the ghosts that would be in there, I think of the actors and the actresses. Or do we just call them actors now?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
When I go with, I just think of the actors. I never would think of, like she said, seeing doppelgangers of, I want to say the crew. Is that the right word? Or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It just blew my mind when she said that.
Yeah, that was really cool. But, it's interesting that, she was saying about those big, strong Marines, and then they were...
I can totally see that. Because, besides in your house when I had that, with that apparition walk by. And way back when I saw it at work, the apparition, you know, if I'm in a ghost hunt or a ghost paranormal investigation or whatever, and I see something like that, I don't know. I mean, I've had EVPs and stuff, but.
Yeah. It's just different, you know? I'm like, you reconcile in your mind. Did I really just see what I saw? Like, did I really see that light going across the stage?
Yeah.
And nobody's there? Or the shadows in the balcony? Or, you know, like. Okay.
Like the night, I mentioned that after the interview, we talked with Alex a little bit, and I mentioned that to her about the Collingwood Art Theater. I was sitting in the audience area, and there was nobody else in the theater. And it was probably around 3 a.m, the witching hour.
Yeah.
And I actually physically saw lights go across the stage, and not just like go across. I mean, I sat there for a good 20 minutes in the dark, quiet.
It's a strange feeling being in a theater all by yourself. I mean, like, all by yourself. Not like, you know, there's people milling around or anything. You're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
To be in a huge space like that and you're all alone, that's, it plays with your mind a little bit. I get, like, scared. I don't know if anybody else does, but.
Now, do you remember years ago, I think it was our first time at Collingwood, I took pictures of you, take pictures of the side stage, and we've got an orb, I want to say, or light anomaly in both our pictures.
Yeah. Same one.
Yeah.
Very interesting. That doesn't happen that often.
No.
And you got kind of got a shadow figure too off on the left side of the stage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Theaters are very active.
I'd love to go back to one. Let's find some cool theaters to go to.
Let's find one out of town, maybe somewhere warm, you know.
Like in San Florida. Diego.
Yeah. I've never been to San Diego.
It's gorgeous. Oh my God, I love it there. It's so pretty. They have the beach. They have a really cool downtown. They have Old Town.
Is that where the Queen Mary is?
No, that's in Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
Which is close, but I mean, a couple hours away, but you know, on the California coast. But yeah, I'd love to go to the Queen Mary as well.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Amazing. So anyways, guys, if you really, you know, if you want to check out Alex's books, she's got 4 books in total. You can go to Amazon. You know, I'll just read down the names real quick. Haunting of the 10th Avenue Theater. The Haunted Actor, an exploration of supernatural belief through theater. More Than Ghosts, a guide to working residential cases in the paranormal field. And then her other one is on writing.
Yeah, it's a 10,000 words, how to increase your writing speed, build your confidence, and find your voice.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I love to read books on writing. So anyways, Joe, what else is going on? What's new? What's exciting? What should we do this week?
Well, we broke a record of our downloads, and it was because Jen and her meow singing. I almost said mowing.
This is, okay, whenever we go somewhere and we're on a road trip and a song comes on the radio, I sing all the lyrics like a cat, like I meow it at Joe just to annoy him on the road. When he has the radio on, because there's been times where we drove for like 3 hours and with no radio on. It's so awkward.
I know.
Turn the
freaking
radio on. Crazy times in the road trips.
We need a book on CD or.
What's our next?
It's not even CDs anymore. What am I saying?
I know.
It's a book on my.
Take ramps.
We need to get the 8-tracks out.
Oh. Let's get off the radio and listen to the world of the worlds. Oh, man.
Yeah,
so Toledo's blowing up my phone tonight.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. They're just having random conversations going back and forth. Anyways.
That's what happens when you play with the haunted dolls.
Oh. Haunted. Hey, guys, check out Haunted Toledo's website. It's very, very cool. They've got some really cool videos also on YouTube, so go to their...
I'm on their videos.
Joe is in a lot of their videos. He is like a superstar. Paranormal. Paranormal!
All right. Well, everybody.
Everybody.
Including you listening.
Meow, meow.
You. Yes, the person I'm in your ears. I am in your ears right now. Like a bad earwig. We have a few conventions coming up. Go to our website. You'll see a list of them. The only one we don't have listed yet is Midwest Parafest.
Yeah.
I haven't put that on the website yet, but I'll update our website as soon as I can.
Yeah, we'll definitely check it out. Or check out our Facebook page. You know, we post a lot of things, our events and happenings there. So make sure you get on schedule this year and definitely share our podcast with your friends. If you see our, you know, I post the shows on our Twitter and our Facebook, please share them.
We're trying to break a record.
Yes.
Last month, we broke a record by about 10 the downloads, and we want to see if we can break that record even more this month.
We're going for it this month.
Share it with all your friends. Like,
share it with your grandpa.
Comment.
Your grandma.
Subscribe.
Your aunts and uncles and your tias and your tios.
Your chihuahuas.
Abuelas. Do it. Do it. Do it.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex, for being on the show. We really enjoyed the interview. Hope everyone has a great week. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, take care, everybody.
And in the thoughts of the theater, this is Second Season by Dead in 5. Bye-bye, everyone.